Welcome to the weekly podcast from Harvest Ridge Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio. Our heart's desire is that you would grow in your love and devotion to Jesus Christ, and that these messages will strengthen your daily walk. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at www.harvestridge.net.
So I've been disturbed by the thoughts I need to share. In Luke chapter 23, verse 39, it says, "One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. 'Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us.' But the other criminal rebuked him and said, 'Don't you fear God?' He said, 'Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong.' And then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' Jesus answered him, 'Truly I tell you, this day you will be with me in paradise.'" My thoughts have been disturbed. As I've spent a few moments working through this passage and thinking through it, I've come to realize there are some different people in this passage, and one of those is the first man. He is a guilty and insulting man. He's a criminal. The criminal here means that he is an insurrectionist, so he probably was a rebel that was fighting against Rome. He was somebody that was probably trying to overthrow Rome and done something they didn't like, so they killed him for it. And here this man is, he's hanging on the cross next to Jesus. You heard about Jesus before Pilate. Pilate said, "I find nothing wrong with this man." Everyone that talked about Jesus said they found no reason for his death. They found no guilt in him. And now this man on the cross next to him hurls insults at him. Now, on face value, it doesn't seem like an insult. On face value, he's simply saying, "Hey, you have power. Save us. You've been saving everybody else. You've been walking around the countryside, healing people who are sick, taking care of the ones who are on the outcasts and the dregs of society. You've shown mercy and love and compassion, and you've brought them in, and you've saved them, and you've healed them, and you've delivered them. You even cast demons out of people. And here I am. I'm dying right next to you," he says. "I'm dying right next to you. Save yourself and save us." You know, there's something odd about a person who is asking Jesus to save them without believing he can do it. He is saying all the right words theologically and practically. "You are God. You're the Messiah. You can save us. Do it." He's saying all the right words without the right heart. There are a lot of people in our culture that say all the right words, especially if you hang out in church culture more than 2 seconds. You hang out in the church for a few minutes, you find people that say all the right words with no intention of following through. They say all the right things. They don't mean it in their heart, and they have no intention of meaning it in their heart. God's not worried about you always saying the right words. It's better to say the wrong words with the right heart than to say the right words with the wrong heart. Because there was a guy in the Bible that said the wrong words, but he said it with the right heart. As a matter of fact, it's in Mark 9:22. He brought his son to Jesus, and his son's laying there on the ground having some kind of fit. They called it a demon. I don't know what was going on, but he was laying on the ground. And the man looked over to Jesus and said, "Jesus, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can." Jesus said, listen to how Jesus called him. He said, "If you can," do you know who you're talking to? "If you can," he said, "everything is possible for the one who believes." And I love the man's prayer, because this is my prayer. How often have I prayed this prayer? The man, immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." You know, it's all right to say the wrong thing from the right heart. It's all right to not have it all figured out, to wrestle with God, to miss the point, to not know everything. It's okay as long as you're asking the simple prayer, "Jesus, help me overcome even my unbelief." Here he was. So that's the one guy. He's saying the right words, but he has no intention to really believe it. And then there's the second thief. The second thief, he is guilty and repentant. He acknowledges his sin. He doesn't dispute that he's a guilty person. He doesn't deny it. He doesn't deflect. Well, if my mama would or my daddy would. No, there's none of that deflection. It's all, I did it. I deserve it. I get what I deserve. He said in Luke 23:41, we are punished justly for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man's done nothing wrong. And then if you want to know the heart of a person that gets it right, and here's the part of a person that gets it right. The first thing is they admit what they've done wrong. They just freely admit it. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But as long as you're deflecting or denying, you will never find forgiveness until you own up to your own sins. Confess literally means to say the same thing as God. And there are kids in the room. Let me tell you what it's not. She made me do it. My sister made me do it. That's not confession, you know? That means you speak the same thing as mom and dad. That would be confession. And when we talk to God, we confess our sins by saying, God, you not only know what I did, but you understand why I did it. And I confess to you that I am a sinner. So he did that, but he did something else. He feared God. He looked at the other thief and said, don't you fear God? So you confess your sins, you fear God, you have a fear of God. You realize that one of these days we're all going to stand before God and God will call us into account. That should strike fear in our hearts. And then the third thing he did is he asked for mercy. He asked for mercy. What do you do when you ask for mercy? He said, you know what asking for mercy is? Asking for mercy is not saying, well, I deserve, but it's saying, I have nothing in my hands. Could you please help me? And he asked Jesus, he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, here's what disturbs me. 2 seconds of real adult thought in the room. Could we do this? Real adult thought for a second. We read this story with 2,000 years of history. We read this story with an understanding that Jesus is about to be resurrected from the dead in 3 days and that he is the king over all eternity, right? We understand these facts. This guy hanging on the cross didn't know that. He's just hanging there. He doesn't know anything. Let's go back. Let's look at the facts this guy has in hand, all right? You ready? He's hanging on a cross. Jesus has already been beaten beyond recognition. He's now hanging on the cross at the very edges of his life, about to die because his body could take no more. This man was not beaten in such a fashion. He's still alive and thinking and pumping for air and all the things you do to breathe on the cross. And he looks over and he sees Jesus almost dead. Almost dead. Now, he thought he was going to be Messiah. Messiah means he's going to be king. He's going to ride into town on a horse. He's going to rule on a donkey. He's going to rule. He's going to set up his throne. He's going to overthrow Pilate, who we just saw earlier. He's going to overthrow the Roman government, and he's going to be king, and he's going to have a kingdom, and this is the king. That's what's over his head, king of the Jews, and he's going to establish a kingdom, set up his throne, and rule like David did as king, establishing justice and righteousness. And here this guy is hanging on a cross. This guy looks over him and says, hey, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? Jesus is 30 seconds, a minute, 5 minutes away from death. And he doesn't know he's going to be resurrected. He doesn't know that God, what was he thinking? It made no logical sense. There is nothing in his mind that would have said, oh, you're the king. You're going to rule over Rome. I want to be a part of your kingdom. There is nothing there physically to demand his loyalty to a king that is about to die. And I've been wrestling with what was it in him that caused him to talk about a man who was ready to die and say, I want to be in your kingdom. Yeah, you're going to be. You're going to be dead too. Think of it. What was he thinking? What? No, he didn't know Jesus was going to be resurrected. He didn't know any of this. He didn't know God was showing his approval and was going to darken the sky and that people would hear thunderclaps and the sky would go dark and all of those things would happen. He knew none of that. And now in this moment, he cries out, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You know what I think happened? It's my simple. I think God put faith in his heart to believe that maybe the end was not the end. And I said all that I said tonight to tell you there's somebody right now in this room that you think the end is the end. You don't see a way out. You see no hope. You see no future. You see nothing. May God inspire faith in your heart to believe that in Jesus, even the end is never the end. We're going to receive communion now. And when we receive communion, we have open communion at Harvest Ridge. That means you're invited to participate with us. We ask simply that you reverence this moment and you respect.